Is that good? Well, it's good to be with you again. And I think I had a message from Tom either on Tuesday or Wednesday asking me what songs and what the theme was. And I'll be honest, usually there'll be a bit of panic because I'd forgotten I was coming here on Sunday, if I'm totally honest with you. But as soon as Tom sent me that, I just knew what I wanted to speak on. And what we're looking at this morning is a journey. I was just thinking on the word journey. And we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're on a journey in life. And we're on a physical journey. But I want us to look also at our spiritual journey. And there's a reason why I was thinking about that. I don't know whether any of you get the Good Soil newsletter, but we've had a what looks, in some respects, a difficult couple of weeks. But in a way, they've been a real blessed couple of weeks as well. So probably about 3 weeks ago, we lost one of our residents. Okay, he had an overdose, not in our house, but in another house. And he died. Didn't know anything about it until the police contacted me a couple of days later. And just said he'd died of an overdose, and there's an investigation going on. And this lad had been with us for about 2 months, and he suffered with great anxiety, and was a very quiet lad. Okay, and you know, when I've told you he died of an overdose, you can think to yourself, that's really bad, and it is. But I was clearing his room, and I was packing up all his belongings, and I read in a diary, and he wrote these words: "Today I am thankful to Jesus for giving his life to me. I'm so very sorry, Lord God. Oh, help me please, Lord. Not that I deserve it, but I need you right now." And another day it said, "I need to let God in. I'm not exactly sure how. Show me, Lord. I'm so scared. Help me, God." You know, when you read that, it puts a bit different perspective on it, doesn't it? Because I was thinking his physical life was a life of torment and difficulty. But when you read something like that in a diary, it filled my heart with joy because God wouldn't ignore that. He can't ignore that. And I was thinking about the thief on the cross, where he said to Jesus, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Have you ever actually thought about that? The bloke getting to heaven, and you know, I'm just being a little bit trivial here. He gets to the gates. "What are you here for? What do you know about the Christian walk?" "Well, I don't know anything. I just spoke to Jesus on a cross." "Do you know anything about justification?" "No." "Salvation?" "No. I know nothing. But I met a man called Jesus." So as I was thinking about this lad, okay, I really think, okay, that he died of an overdose. But I believe he had a short spiritual journey. "Lord, help me. Lord, rescue me. I'm thankful that you died for me." And I just see in that short spiritual journey that he's with the Lord now. And that gives me a joy. Although the journey may have been short, that is a man pouring out his heart in a diary. I may not have heard those words, but those are words he's written down. And he's doing some business with the Lord. So I was just thinking about that in a journey, and thinking about my journey, thinking about your journey, and our physical, but more importantly, our spiritual journeys with the Lord. Because he died on the Monday, and on the Thursday, we had a, which kind of overshadowed it a little bit. We had a fire at the farm. We were having lunch, and we had a battery on charge in our workshop, and it must have caught fire, the battery, and we were unaware. We were having our lunch, and we smelt smoke, but it was all too late. We called the fire brigade, waited for about 20 minutes for them to arrive, in which time the whole workshop had gone up, and we lost machinery, we lost tools, tens of thousands pounds of stuff just gone. And you're thinking, Lord, what are you saying to us here? You know, and those things can be replaced. You know, the workshop can be rebuilt. But in some respects, it overshadowed the death of that resident, which I'm a bit sad about. Because that's more important, isn't it? The journey and the life of people. You know, we can rebuild. We're not too worried about those things, although it was a bit devastating. But in that journey, I'm just thinking, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And in those things, we can think materially, but just like that thief on the cross, our journey is all about Jesus and what he's saying, who he is, and we want to listen to him. So I picked that reading this morning about the wise men, and I just thought we'd have a little look at their journey and some principles that we can learn from that, because it's to encourage us on our journey. And let's just consider our journey as we consider looking briefly at this. We had a reading from Matthew, and we also had a reading, another strange reading from Exodus, if you like, and we'll see how the two marry up. But first of all, we see these wise men. Now, it was interesting as I was looking at this. Boy, we don't have put some tradition into these stories, don't we? And we just want to get rid of the tradition and the stuff we add to it and just see what the Bible says. And so we've got these wise men, and they followed a star. You know, some people have said, you know, they were astronomers and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm also not saying that's right. I believe that these men had revelation. These men, it doesn't say there were three. There could have been a whole group. But they weren't part of God's people. They came from outside of Jerusalem, and they followed the star. So they received some kind of revelation, and they were on the search for Jesus. Okay? They were on the search for Jesus. They left, if you like, a pagan country to follow the purposes of God. And they journeyed from their own country to seek the King of the Jews. And their purpose was to worship him. Their purpose was to worship him. And as we ponder these things, we need to consider our own journey and be encouraged in how we are in this. You know, I don't know what nationalities we have here. Most of us English? Or have we got a Scotsman? Scottish? Dutch, of course, we have. Yeah, okay. And it's interesting, isn't it, these things, because these men left their country to pursue the kingdom of God and to see Jesus. And later on, we'll have a quick look at Abraham, okay, because we're, you know, even in our country right now, there's a lot of nationalism going on, isn't there? And it doesn't look pretty, does it? You know, it doesn't look good at all. But I want to say, as followers of Jesus, we are pursuers of his kingdom and what he's about, and to worship him. And they arrive in Jerusalem, and you can only assume that they would have thought they would have met some leaders who were excited about Jesus as well. But they weren't. They met Herod. And often when we're walking, when we're on a journey, and we're journeying with Jesus, we're on that spiritual journey, we will come against hatred. Homage and hatred come side by side. When we're following Jesus, we will have tension with other people and other powers. Okay? And that's to be expected. But their response was to go and see Jesus and worship him. And I don't know whether you noticed, they give gifts. They're expecting to see royalty. And they give gold, frankincense and myrrh to show worship, divinity, and also humanity in death. But what these wise men were about as well is they were obedient to the divine voice. You know, the angel said, don't go back to Herod. Okay? So here we have wise men who have left their country and they're listening to the word of the divine. They're not even coming under the authority of the king of the area. They're disobeying the king of the area because they're following the King of Kings wholeheartedly. And these principles are really important for us today. Okay? Really important principles for us to be seeking God's voice. I'm just going through the book of Jeremiah and myself, and I've come across a point where Jeremiah's with Zedekiah. And the differences between those two men. Zedekiah was a king, and he prayed. He often prayed to God, but the one thing he didn't do was listen to the voice of God. Okay? We could be good prayers. God, can you help us? But are we a people that listen to God's voice? And Jeremiah was a man who stood alone and tried to tell people, but people didn't want to know. They're okay praying, but they weren't okay listening. And that's what these guys did here, these wise men. They heard God's voice and they obeyed it. And they even went against the king, King Herod, because their heart was to worship this baby, worship Jesus. Okay? And if you like, these wise men, the reason I went read that verse in Exodus is because, if you like, the wise men are almost the New Testament equivalent of Abraham. Okay? Let's have a little look at that. And I'm going to ask you to get involved here. Okay? Are we ready to get involved? No response. That's not good, is it? Okay? So, I'm just going to read that. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord did not make myself known to them. Okay, so he had a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had a covenant with them, but now he's going to make his name known. Okay, so here we've got Moses, who is about to start a journey with the children of Israel, okay, and leading them out of captivity. So Jesus, the Lord is saying, you are going to discover what my name means. Okay, so here we go. Here's some questions for you. Okay, when we look at the story of Abraham, what are the main highlights of his life? Sorry? Man of faith. Okay, yeah, good. What did he do first of all? Where was he from? Okay. Was that, what was that from? Was that part of the children of God? No? His mother and father were pagans. Yeah? So, and what happened to him? Yeah. He did that because who called him? Okay, so God called him out of paganism to what? To be obedient and to follow him and take him to a land that he didn't know. Okay, so in that process, he became a man of faith, didn't he? Okay, so God said, leave your family, leave your country, and follow me. What are the two biggest influences in your life? Family and your nationality, your country. Okay? The two biggest influences in your life, God is saying, leave them and follow me. Okay? And what was God going to do? He's going to teach him a brand new way. If you look at Genesis 12, there's this wonderful picture where God says, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give you this land. So he built an altar there at Bethel. Okay? And if you look at those things, Shechem means shoulder, which means strength. Moreh means teacher. So Abraham was going to be strengthened by the Lord and taught by the Lord as he journeyed in life. Lord, be my strength and teach me things. You know, I've got kids, four children, and I hope they're not like me. I want them to learn from Jesus, to be taught by him and strengthened by him and become, I was going to say men and women, boys and girls, men and women of faith. That's my prayer that they are. Okay? And that's what happened to Abraham. Okay? And he was going to become a father of a nation, and he was going to be blessing those who were blessed, to curse you. Okay? God wants you and me to be a blessing around those people that we meet and see. You've got the same calling, folks. You've got the same calling. I've got the same calling. Not to necessarily physically leave our families or our countries, but to follow the principles. Be a blessing and a light to those. Okay? That's what happened to the wise men, wasn't it? They left their country and they went on a journey where God was telling them by a star, and that's what they followed. Till they saw Jesus and they worshipped him. Okay? That's our journey today, folks. Can you believe this? You know, Moses would have written that. And then along comes Matthew many years later and he's writing that, something else that intertwines. It's an amazing book, isn't it, the Bible? Because it's God-breathed. Okay? But the same principle is for you and me today. To be like those people, to be on a journey of faith where we see God move in his strength and being taught by him. And when you see when you look at Isaac, what was Isaac about? What were the highlights of Isaac's life? I may have said this before to people. Isaac, we don't know a great deal about Isaac, but what do we know? Sorry? Okay. He was obedient to his father. Okay. So that was Jacob, wasn't it? We'll come to him in a second. There's not much about Isaac, to be honest, but the Lord provided for him. So the Lord provided for him a wife, and he also provided for him a lamb. Do you remember that? At the sacrifice where Abraham was going to sacrifice him, and God said no, provided a lamb. When we do what God says and we follow him, God will provide. God will provide. Okay, just like he provided the lamb, he will provide. So I look at this fire that we've had, and I just know God will provide and will show us new things. Perhaps that season in that needs to stop and something else needs to come. Lord, teach us, show us, but we're trusting you because we know you provide and you go before us. Okay? And what was Isaac's birth? What was special about that? What was special about his birth? She was, says a bloke, she was well, yeah. It was a miracle birth, wasn't it? Okay? A miracle birth. What was Jesus? A miracle birth. What are you? There's a miracle spiritual birth that's taken place. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit of the living God. Okay, remember that, folks, because it's powerful. It's a birth that God has birthed in you. We've just celebrated communion. And, I'm wrestling with things like communion and funerals these days. Because I think, communion, we have to remember. And it's good to be solemn at times. But I think also it's good to rejoice and have a party, okay, of communion. It's a celebration, okay, a funeral. Okay, when that lad I was talking about, when I read that those letters, I thought to myself, hallelujah. This is a party. He's living with the Saviour. Okay? It puts a different reflection on it, doesn't it? Okay? So when we see Abraham and Isaac, God provided. And then we see Jacob. What was Jacob? Okay, he was dishonest. He was a blagger. Okay, he tried to do things in his own strength. Okay, so he knew he was going to be receive the inheritance, but he tried to spin it himself, didn't he? Okay, then what happened to him? He had a little bit of a fight, didn't he? Can you remember that? Yeah, he wrestled with God, didn't he? He wrestled with God, and his hip was put out. And every step he made, he remembered Almighty God. And do you know what? Jacob is a bit like you and me. We're all rogues. But by God's hand, as we journey with him, he wants to change us. And when you look at Jacob towards the end of his life, he didn't do anything without God's guidance. Okay? And he wouldn't move unless God authorized it. He changed. He was a man who was touched by Almighty God. Okay, and his life changed. Okay, and that's for us, folks. About us, God wants to change us degree by degree and make us more like him. And, I've just been challenged this week about my journey with God. And, If I'm honest, there's times when I can forget I'm on a spiritual journey. And I can just journey in the physical. And I just want to be journeying with Jesus, with my eyes on firmly fixed on him, and knowing his hand, and knowing his voice in my life, and helping me. Because I have to say, life is tough, isn't it? Who can sit here and say life has been a breeze? Okay, there's things that come in and test us, isn't there? But Lord, help us on our journeys. And I've been playing this song. I was driving down here today, and I had a bit of a panic because I got on at Junction 7, and I was playing this song over and over again, and I thought, have I missed the junction? But fortunately, I hadn't. But this is a great hymn that I've just been pondering on this week, and I've probably played it about 40 times, I should imagine, this week. And it's this: "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me now and forevermore. Feed me now and forevermore." Powerful words, aren't they? We're in a barren land. We're in a difficult place. But Lord, feed me. Feed me with your word, with your powerful hand. Open now, open thou the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let thy fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all through journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. So there we've got the journey where they were following the cloud and God was their strong deliverer. Okay. "When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me up safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee." And that last line really hit me. "I will ever give to thee." You know, I was thinking of those gifts that they gave the baby Jesus. What's Jesus looking for us to give? Folks, I'm not talking money. I'm talking giving your all to him. Giving everything to him. Your life, your everything to him as you journey in and through life. And that's my prayer, that you will know the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And in that, you will know and worship the Saviour, okay? And give him everything, because he wants to guide you. He wants to empower you, and he wants you to be a blessing for the people around you. Powerful, isn't it? And that's, as we think of new birth, we think of baby Jesus. I just pray for that new birth in us, that we will be lights in the communities, in the people we're around, and a blessing to the people around us, that we too will share the good news of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
As if by magic.